chapter 15. That's where we're going to be at together this morning. Luke chapter 15. We're looking at a familiar story that you've probably heard many times in your life, but we're going to unpack it and kind of look at it from a little bit of a different angle together this morning as we look at it together. But there were two men that were next door neighbors, and their wives one day were going to be going on a shopping trip together, and they didn't want to go on that shopping trip at all. They're like, please. And so they came up with something to do. Instead, they decided they were going to go fishing together that day on one of the guys' boats. And so the wives woke up early and began their journey of shopping together, and the guys woke up early and took their boat and went out and began fishing for the day. And it was supposed to be a beautiful day with, you know, nothing in the forecast to be concerned about with storms. But suddenly out of nowhere in the middle of their fishing journey together, a storm brewed and they saw it coming, and it was coming quick out of nowhere. And before they knew it, the wind was tossing their boat back and forth, and the rain was hitting their skin so hard it was stinging, and the thunder was clapping and the lightning was going across the sky. And so they quickly began to hightail it back towards shore. But they weren't paying attention to where they were going, and they ended up hitting a sandbar and getting stuck in that sandbar with their boat. And so they jumped out of the boat, and in the middle of the storm, they were up to about their knees in the water, and they were pushing and shoving as the rain was hitting their skin and the wind was blowing their hair and against them. And they were trying to get it out of the sandbar. And the one friend just stopped in the middle and said, "I can't believe this happened to us." And the other friend looked over and he said, "Yeah, but it sure does beat shopping, doesn't it?" And you know, as I thought of that story this week, I thought, man, isn't that a powerful thing, perspective this morning? Think about perspective. The way you view things may not be the way somebody next to you views something. Do you agree with that this morning? But the way that we view things is critical. The way that we perceive things in our lives is huge. Matter of fact, we are so different that there's some of us in here this morning that when our coffee cup or our cup of iced tea, or whatever your choice is that you like to fill your cup with up with this morning, is half full. Some of us are like, yes, I've got half a cup left, and you're excited about a half a cup. Others of you are like, oh, I only have half a cup left, right? And then there's sometimes where you have the chip bag or the ice cream container, and you get it, and it's only halfway full, both of those things. And some of you are like, yes, score, I got half a bag of chips or half a container of ice cream left, and you're excited. While others of you pick it up and you're like, oh no, somebody ate half already. All I got left is half, right? Or how about the gas tank this morning? Isn't it fascinating how we are with those? Some of us this morning, I'm not going to say who, but when the gas tank is on half empty, you're like, we got to fill this puppy up, man. We only got half a tank left. We need to do something about this. And then there's others of you sitting in here this morning. You're like, nope, not till the bell's dinging. And then you're like, I got 20 miles left after that starts dinging. And so you wait until the last second to fill up that gas tank, don't you? And see, perspective is huge, and it affects many things, many areas, and many relationships in our lives. But I want to talk today about your perspective of yourself, how you view yourself, because that is so critical. It is so big and important how we view ourselves, because I believe that many people that we lock eyes with, including ourselves this morning, have some unhealthy views of ourselves. And so I want to look at some scriptures to talk about our view of ourselves. So Luke 15, follow along with me if you would. I'm going to read verses 11 through 24 as we jump in here. And he said, "There was a young man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the food that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. So Lord, this morning as we continue now in your word to unpack this story a little bit and to talk through it and to think about how you view us this morning, Lord, and how you want us to view ourselves. Lord, will you just take anything Satan's planted in our hearts and minds that does not belong there and dismantle those lies and untruthful things? And instead, plan in the things of Christ, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the first thing I want to just challenge you with this morning is this. What if I stopped looking at how others viewed me? What if this morning you and I chose to stop looking at how others view us? You know, we are very concerned and worried about others' perceptions. We worry about the things that they think. We worry about how we think they perceive us this morning. But you know, it's fascinating because, to be honest with you, sometimes the way that we think they're viewing us isn't even truth. Did you know that this morning? We've kind of bought into some of the lies of the enemy at times. And so we think somebody's thinking this about us, or we think this is their view of us. And quite frankly, it's not even what they think about us this morning. And so the enemy uses that in a powerful way against us and in our hearts and in our lives and in our minds. And I want you to notice with me in this story here today, we're going to start in verse 13 again, but notice with me all of the different characters in this story that Jesus shared, and just take notice of who all this man could have been concerned about and their views of him. The first group, I think, is the friends that he had when he went into party land. Think about this. Verse 13, not many days the younger son gathered all he had, took a journey into that far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living, is what Jesus said. And then he continues, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose, and he began to be in need. Now, I am sure that if a guy rolls into town with all kinds of money and all kinds of fun around him, that people are going to want to flock to that. Would you agree with me this morning? Think about that. He would be the man of the hour. He would be the person that a lot of people would be like, I'm going to hang with him. Look at this. The money's flowing. He's having fun. And they would want to be with him. And there's going to be people just like that in our lives this morning too. There's going to be a lot of people that surround us to see what they can get from us, to see what they can gain from us in life. And there's all kinds of personalities like that. They're all about taking and gaining. You probably have seen that this morning. And in this situation, it would have been the same. Here's a wealthy young man who's unwise with his money. He comes into town and he's spending it left and right and all kinds of people. I'm getting in on this. He's going to be my friend. And I could imagine the pile of friends was huge until the money ran out. And then suddenly the friendship list ran out. Would you agree with me this morning? Because now he has nothing to offer. Now he's no fun to be around. And so as soon as the money ran off and was squandered away, the friends ran away and wanted no more to do with him. So there was the friends that he could have been concerned about. What are they going to think of me now, right? And then even the owner of the pig farm and the people in the surrounding area. Look at verse 14. And so he'd spent everything, the severe famine arose, and he began to be in need. So verse 15 says he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. Now, this was gutter level low in a life of a person in those days. See, pigs were not viewed as clean animals. And they would want, that'd be the last animal you'd want to be around and to work with. And so, as you think about this, this was a lowly job. This was a lonely job. This was a job nobody would really want to have, and you wouldn't be viewed very well by those around you. You'd almost be viewed as an outcast. One commentator said it would be like being on Skid Row, almost, the Bible commentator said, for this individual to sink to that level and have to have that kind of a job. And another commentator said this. He said, cursed be the man who would breed swine. That's what their view was. And so, in other words, you could imagine then, cursed be the man who would even take care of the pigs, right? And nobody would think that's cool. Nobody would want to be around him and to rub shoulders with him. And it says in verse 16 that he was longing to be fed with pods even the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. Can you see the dire need there? Nobody cares. Nobody's paying attention. Here he is, and he's starving to death, and nobody wants to chip in to help this poor fellow out. They're just looking on with no pity, with no care, with no concern, with no love whatsoever for him and for his situation. And then it even you look at it here, and when they say he longed to be fed with the pods of pigs, you know, we don't know what that means exactly, but there's some speculation because you can't eat all the food that pigs eat. It's impossible for humans to digest those things. But there were some foods that they were fed that some of the lowliest in society had to actually eat because it's all they could afford in those days. And so it could have been true that he longed to eat some of that stuff. But even the owner wouldn't allow him to eat that. He refused it, do you see? And so here he is, and no one wanted to love him. Nobody wanted to help him. The people in the countryside there, the owner of the pigs that was his boss, and here he is, the odd man out. And then we get to Big Brother. And look what it says in verse 25 on. Now his older son, talking about his big brother here, was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And listen to what happens. Verse 27, he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in, and his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed a command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him? And as you look at this, just look at his view there. Do you see it? I mean, in verse 30, he doesn't even call him my brother. Do you see that? He's like, this son of yours. Do you see it there? The sarcasm and the anger and the dislike of his brother now. This son of yours, not even my brother anymore. And he viewed this man now that's coming home that was his brother. He viewed him as a failure. He viewed him as a taker. He viewed him as immature. Nothing but a party animal that was immature. And that was his perception and view of his brother. And I want to be honest this morning. We all have people like this in our lives too that we worry about how they view us. Are you with me this morning? We have friends too, and we often worry, what are they going to think about me? What do they think? We have coworkers. We have bosses. We have neighbors. We have acquaintances. We have family, don't we? We have all kinds of people in our world that we worry about. What do they think? And so we have friends and people and acquaintances, and we even have the culture. What's the people in this world in general think about me? So we have culture and friends. But then we also throw into the mix another one. I just want to bring this to the surface. Satan himself. Oh, he's going to speak into your life. Did you know that this morning? How many of you had Satan try to beat you up this week in a moment of honesty? Anybody with me? I'm not alone. Amen? If you're living for Jesus, he's coming at you. Did you know that this morning? You are a target. And I don't know about you, but he comes at us and he gets his voice in the mix, whether it's through the culture around us, whether sometimes he even uses people in your world, in your lives, to bring the stuff onto you by their words, and they don't even realize they're being used by him sometimes. That's a scary thing that I can allow Satan to use me, which is why we better be prayed up this morning. Amen. And so Satan comes, and this is the kind of stuff he says. Just think about this. You're insignificant. You're a nobody. You ever heard him say those kinds of things? You're not worthwhile. You've got nothing to offer. You're not a good spouse. You're not a good parent. You're not a good worker. You're not a good student. You're not a good son or daughter. Look at your life. It's a wreck. Your life is completely a mess and in shambles. There is no hope for you whatsoever. Nobody would like the real you if they found out what you're really like. Nobody cares about you. God doesn't love you. God isn't going to forgive you. I mean, and the lies go on and on and on and on. that he tries to whisper into our lives and into our hearts this morning. Did you know that he's good at lying? In John 8, I want to read this to you this morning. John 8:44. And this is Jesus again talking. When Jesus talks, you better pay attention. Amen? He says this. He says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires." And listen to what he says about Satan, the devil, here. He says he was a murderer from the beginning. And listen to the next parts. Not holding to the truth. Do you see it there? He doesn't hold the truth. He doesn't like truth. He doesn't care about truth. There's no truth in Satan this morning. He's all about the lies. And he moves in to say, for there's no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, he says, for he is a liar. And not only is he a liar, but he is the father of lies, Jesus says. That's a powerful verse. And what Jesus is telling us is that Satan is a professional liar. That Satan is the best liar. That Satan is all about lies this morning. And that is his native language. That's his first language of choice. And the language that he is really good at speaking is lies and untruthful things. And not only that, but he says that he is the father of lies. He is the originator of lies. He is the leader of lies. He is the founding father of lies. And we see that in the Garden of Eden, don't we, this morning? That very real truth. There's not a shred of truth whatsoever in Satan, is what Jesus is saying. And that's a true thing that we can see there. And I ask you this morning, what kind of lies has he been telling you about yourself that you've been buying into, that you've been believing? Now, I don't know if you've noticed this about me or not this morning, but I kind of got the short gene in my life. Did you notice that? I know you're shocked, aren't you? You didn't realize that this morning, but I did. You know, I've always been a short guy all my life, and I take after one of my grandfathers who was short too, I guess, and so I've never really grown. And I remember when I was in junior high, and Satan really played into my life and really began to spread the lies into my heart and mind about myself. All my friends were growing tall. They were huge. I played basketball growing up in junior high and high school, and I was one of the shortest dudes on the team, so I never got into the paint and was cool enough to be in the paint. I was always up front, you know, playing the point guards and guarding those kinds of guys. But my friends, they were huge. They were like 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", and I'd have to look up at them every time I hung out with them at the mall, you know, and stuff like that, and because I was the short one of the pack, you know what I'm saying? And all kinds of people would say, "Man, look at you guys, you're growing so tall." And there I am standing there, and I'm like, yeah, they're not talking about me, you know, because I wasn't growing any taller, you know. And in a moment of honesty this morning, I really didn't like me at that time. I didn't like it. I didn't like being the odd man out. I didn't like that I wasn't growing with them. I didn't like that, you know, this was happening to them and not to me. And Satan began to say things to me about that very real reality in my life, just telling me, "You're not good enough. You're not good enough the way that you are." And so, before I know it, Satan was so playing into my heart and mind that I started not eating as much food, and that's when I began my journey into being anorexic. You've heard my testimony, some of you here this morning, and how I jumped into that world, and before I knew it, I was completely all in and being anorexic because people were saying things like this: "You're losing weight, you look great." And finally, I'm hearing somebody else say, "You look good," right? Instead of just these tall dudes around me, you know what I'm saying? And so I began to enjoy those serenades of applause of those things. And then it got out of control. And that's when, you know, I suffered a stroke in my body and lost all my muscle tone and all kinds of things happened. I'm not going to get into it today. But I believed in the father of lies about me this morning. Have you been there, believer? It may not be about your body image, but for some of you it is this morning. Some of you don't like yourselves this morning and what you look like. Certain things about you, you don't like it this morning. Some of you don't like certain things about your life this morning and your lot in life or your gifts or your talents or your abilities, and Satan's lying to you about those things this morning, saying, "You're not good enough, you can't make a dent, you're insignificant, you're a nobody." Are you with me this morning? He's so good at that. He's crafty at that this morning. He's the father of lies. And I praise the Lord that I had people surrounding me that loved me through that and spoke the word of God and truth into my life and prayed me through that season to bring me out of the lies and into victory. Jesus has the power to do that. Did you know that this morning? He has the power to do that in our lives. And so can we be honest this morning? The Father of lies is in every one of our lives every day. Did you know that? He shows up in your world. And he says things to you about yourself. There's days he tells you that you don't look good enough the way that you look. Did you know that this morning? He seriously tells you that some days. And can I remind you, we're going to learn a verse in just a short few minutes here this morning. In Psalm 139, you need to remind him in those moments, I will not buy into your nonsense and lies. I am fearfully and wonderfully made according to my God. There's times that he's going to show up and he's going to say, you're a nobody this morning. You're insignificant. And you need to remind him in those moments, oh no, you're full of it, Satan. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on me that I am a son or daughter of God's, a daughter and son of the King of Kings. Remind him of that this morning, amen? There's going to be times he's going to come up to you and say, you can't make a difference in this world. And you know what? He's right. We can't in our own strength and power. But I remember Acts 1:8 where it said to the disciples, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses, he said. And we can remind him, oh, no, Satan. You're right. I can't make a difference. But if I'm living in the power of the Holy Spirit, I saw some world changers in the Bible, and I can be one just like them. Reminding him of that truth is huge. You know, there's going to be times where he's going to say, you can't win the Christian life. You can't beat this sin that you're battling. You'll never beat that temptation or that battle with this thing or that thing. And we can remind him, oh no, you're wrong there too. Because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you see, the Father of lies is going to come. Are you with me this morning? He's going to come, and he's going to come right at you this morning with all that he's got. And he's going to try to get you down and get you to believe the things that he's saying. And I want to encourage you to give him the big old boot and to remind him of the truths you've hidden in your heart of Scripture this morning. And to stop looking at how others view you. To stop looking at the culture and their perception and view this morning. And to stop listening to the lies of the enemy. Because, man, if we will do that, it will change our lives. I believe that this morning. Do you? If we stop buying into how they feel and care and think, or how we think they care, feel, and think, because it's probably not even true what we think anyways, it will change everything. I believe that this morning. So what if I stop looking at how they viewed me? And what if the second thing this morning is this, if I cared about how God views me? What if that was my ultimate concern? Only caring about God's view. Only caring about God's perception. After all, you think of this story here we're looking at in Luke 15, and the Father's view in this story was so different than everybody else's would have been, and even those that we do see for sure. If anyone had the right to be mad and to be ticked off and to reject and to want to get even and to even say to him, I'm not taking you, I'm rejecting you, and to say to him, you look terrible, to say to him, you smell like a pig pen, get out of here. It was the Father, right? He was the only one who had the right. But I think Jesus gave us a powerful glimpse into the heart of our Heavenly Father in this passage and how he feels about us this morning. And that's the whole point of this story, to give us a glimpse of the Father's heart for us when Jesus shared it. And look at what he says. And I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, though our feelings as humans come and go, he said, God's love for us does not. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? You know, my feelings come and go every day. Some days I'm frustrated, and the next day I'm not frustrated. Anybody with me on that this morning? Some days I get a little irritated at something, and the next moment I'm not irritated. The feelings come and go. Some days I'm really joyful. Other days the world just seems to suck the joy away, and I have to pray for more joy. They come and go. But God's love doesn't do that for us this morning, which is such a cool thought. So you look at verse 20 and it says this. He comes onto the scene and it says, he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he felt compassion. That's what God views you with. He views you with compassion. He feels compassion for you and for me. And he ran and embraced him and he kissed him. And I love this because he was waiting for him. He was on the lookout for him. He was longing for his return. And when he saw him coming, what's he do? He runs to meet him. He doesn't wait for him. He runs to him and he embraces him and he kisses him. And I am sure that the son, if this was me, I would have been on the whole journey back home thinking in my head, okay, how am I gonna break through with this situation? What if this goes south? What if he says no and rejects me, and rehearsing the speech over and over again. Listen to what he says in verse 21 as the embrace comes. And he said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But, I love the but in verse 22. The father said to the servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And look what it says. They began to celebrate. They celebrated his homecoming. God was delighted he was home. Isn't that an awesome story? And it shows us the heart of God this morning. It shows us his heart. And listen, the father didn't care about his looks. He didn't care about his smells. He didn't care about where he had been. He didn't care about what he had done. It didn't matter. He was home for the grace of God. And he was welcoming him home as his son again, embracing him and celebrating. You want to know how valuable you are to God this morning? Look at these stories. I know Satan tells us over and over again, you're not valuable to God at all. He does that to us, doesn't he? He tries to diminish the love of God, to diminish our value. But oh, we are so valuable. Think of the verses that you know by heart. How many of you know John 3:16 by heart? Simple verse, right? For God so loved the world. We make that so generic sometimes, don't we? But what about you? You're in that mix, aren't you, this morning? For God so loved you that he did what he did with his only son. Or how about Romans 5:8? That's one of my favorite verses. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Or God proves his love. God shows his love. God doesn't just say the words. We're good at speaking things, but God actually backs it up by what Paul says next. While we were still yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Isn't that powerful? While we were still the prodigals that we just read about, he went to the cross for us because he loves us that much. Oh, that is such a cool thing to think about this morning. And then you get to this verse in Ephesians 2:10 I want to look at for just a moment with you this morning. And I just want to read just the first snippet of it. This is powerful. We could go into the rest, but that's a whole different couple sermons if we wanted to. But in Ephesians 2:10a, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, where Timothy was, he says these words. For we, talking about the church, talking about believers, okay, so that's you and I as well this morning. For we are his workmanship, he says. For we, the church, us believers, his children, we are his workmanship. Some versions say we are his handiwork. Some versions say we are his masterpieces this morning. Isn't that cool? And think about that. As I read that verse this week, God just gave me this amazing thought of an artist walking around their art studio. Could you see that this morning? And they worked hard and for hours on different works of art, and it's hanging all over their studio. And people are there to see it and to tour it, and they're walking people around and saying, well, this is called such and such, and I worked hard on this. This is what it means. This is what it's all about. And oh, and over there is this work of art that I created. And really, that's what he's saying. We are God's masterpieces like that this morning. And I could imagine God talking about us this morning like that. Oh, over there is Beth. And you know, I made Beth, and Beth is going to be a nurse for me in the future. I got some amazing plans for Beth. She's going to be touching lives and people in ways that nobody else can. And I'm going to put her in positions and moments and times to love on people, to pray with people, to give people Jesus in the middle of hopeless situations. I got amazing plans for Beth. Oh, that's Jimmy over there. And man, I got some good plans for Jimmy. Jimmy's going to play basketball all of his life. And he's going to actually play in college. And then he's going to play in the NBA. And he's going to be an example of salt and light for Jesus that others won't be, except for Jimmy, where I take him. And then when he's done, I'm going to have them do all kinds of kids' camps for kids. And Jimmy's going to make a dent for the kingdom of God. Oh, and over there is Frank. And you know, Frank, he's a mechanic. And I'm going to put Frank in a small town. And Frank is going to be there for people. Frank is going to be reliable. Frank is going to be the guy everybody goes to when they have issues and struggles. And he's going to take time to listen and to talk to them and to care about them and to pour into them. And I can't wait to use Frank. You see, God looks at us like masterpieces. Amen? Do you see it this morning? And as you think about this morning, I want to ask this question. What kind of lies has the enemy been planting into your heart this past week or in the previous weeks about you that you've been believing and buying into? What's he been saying? You're not good enough. You don't look the way you should look. You don't measure up. You're not. You fill in the blank this morning. You're not making the cut at work. Look at you. You're not making the cut at home. Look at this. You're not making the cut in this parenting gig. I mean, all kinds of things he could say to you. But if we could only see ourselves the way God sees us this morning, oh, what a difference it would make. If you have your Bibles, jump to Psalm 139. I want to look at a couple verses as we close from these passage here together. I love what the psalm writer says in verse 13. He's talking about God creating here, and he says, "For you, God, created my inmost being," in verse 13. "You knit me together in my mother's womb," and look what he says in verse 14. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well," he says. Now, when you look at those words fearfully, that means you're made to be in awe of. It means you're made having great beauty. When you see the word wonderfully, it means you're made admirable. It means you're made excellent, or you're made extremely well this morning. You see, God is a God who creates, and God doesn't make mistakes this morning. Amen? And I want to encourage you. Here's the deal. Whatever you and I do, we cannot give Satan the paintbrush this morning to paint within our hearts and minds the image of ourselves that he wants us to have of ourselves. Because I can promise you, if you give him the paintbrush, he's going to paint away. And everything he paints is going to be lie after lie after lie. You saw John 8:44. He's going to paint tons of lies about you in your life if you give him the paintbrush. So do not give him the paintbrush and give him permission to paint the portrait of you in your heart and mind this morning. Take the brush away and ask Jesus to paint the picture of you, because it will always show you the truth about yourself. Amen? Even the things that need worked on, Jesus will point those out too in time, won't he? He's faithful, and he'll show you the flaws and the things he wants to work on, but he'll do it with gentleness and love this morning, with the gentleness and love of a father. And so give Jesus the paintbrush this morning and allow him to form in the paint in your minds the things that he wants you to know about yourself, not Satan. You know, a number of weeks ago, I was driving in the car with my family, and I'm one of those guys. I can't do two things at once. Anybody like that this morning? It's impossible for me. My wife always makes fun of me because when I'm texting, I will move my lips to read what I'm texting, because I can't function without doing that, you know? And so in the car, I can't listen to the radio and some other people talking at the same time. It just doesn't work for me. I need one thing, or it's overload for me. And I remember this week we were driving. The whole crew was there with me. And for some reason, God let me cut through the noise of kids beating each other up in the back seat and of other things happening around me. And I heard that what was happening on K-Love, and it grabbed my attention quickly. Because there was a story of a young woman, and just, it was an amazing story. The DJ was talking about her and how she had sent in two photos of herself to K-Love. And one of them was from 3 years previous from this moment. In the first photo of her, she was really fit and lean and buff looking. And she talked about how everybody in the world around her was applauding her in that photo, saying, "Oh, you look wonderful. You look beautiful. Look at the condition of your body. Look at what great shape you're in." And they were applauding her and serenading her with praise because of how good she looked. And she said, but what they didn't know was, even though they were saying those things, on the inside, I was dying. Because I didn't like me. I was struggling with an eating disorder, she said. And that's why I was in the shape I was in, because of where I was at in life. And then she sent in a second photo of herself 3 years later. And in that photo, she wasn't as fit and trim. She was still beautiful, though, they said, but she wasn't as fit and trim. She wasn't where she was 3 years before with everybody applauding and saying, oh, look how great you look. But she said, you know what? In that second picture, I am a happier person. Because in that picture, Jesus had set me free from my eating disorder. And I really loved me and liked me for me the way God made me finally, she said. Isn't that powerful? And I'm just being real. Some of us this morning in here, we're shackled up and chained up by the enemy when it comes to our views and thoughts of ourselves and how we look at ourselves. I'm just being real this morning. We don't talk about this much. But there's a lot of us this morning shackled up in here. And there's a lot of stuff we view about ourselves that's untrue and false things. And we bought into the lies of the enemy this morning. And we need Jesus to take those shackles off and to free us. And to take the paintbrush and to paint the right view. Because I look at that verse 14 of that Psalm 139. I praise you, he says, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, the psalm writer said. He's saying, this is true about me. I'm a work of art by the master artist, is what he was saying here. And listen, God isn't into assembly line making. God is into custom making his children this morning. Isn't that cool? And he makes us unique and on purpose and for his purposes this morning, whether we realize that or not, he does. And Psalm 139:13 says this, You created my inmost being. Look at this, you knit me together in my mother's womb, he says. You see, God, the God who created all that you see around you, the beauty, the sunsets, the sunrises, everything you see, he is the one who knit you together and made you you on purpose. And that's an awesome thought this morning. And so I want to encourage you to stop looking at the crowds, to stop looking at the world for how you view yourself, for your value, for your significance, and for what you're worth. And instead, look to Jesus, the artist who made you, and ask him to give you the proper view of yourself this morning. What a game changer that is when we do that. Do you believe that this morning? It's a game changer. And Psalm 139, I just want to encourage you to let this verse and truth wash over your heart and over your mind this week. I was doing it this week myself as I was reading this. You know, Psalm 139, he says in verse 14, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And he says, your works are wonderful. Look at what he says at the end there as we close. He says, I know that full well. Do you see that there? Underline that. He's saying, I believe this. This is true. I understand this fact. I get this fact. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I am fearfully and wonderfully made this morning, is what he's saying. Oh, that we would do that this morning. Is that true for you, believer, this morning? Do you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Can you say with confidence this morning, oh God, I know this is true. I am fearfully and wonderfully made by you, the master artist, and I'm your masterpiece. Can you say that this morning? Without it being a lie, because you've bought into the lies of the enemy about yourself. And so I challenge you as we close this morning, this week, if you've bought into the lies of the enemy, to take this verse and to commit it to memory. What a verse to memorize. Are you with me this morning? I praise you because I'm fearfully, and you knit me together and created me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful or marvelous, some versions say. I know that full well. I encourage you to take that verse. If you have bought into the lies of Satan about you, I encourage you to take that verse and to memorize it. I encourage you to post it somewhere where you're going to see it every day, on your mirror when you're getting ready in the mornings, in your car, in your office workspace, in your locker at school, wherever it is that you need to see it. I encourage you to post that somewhere so you can look at that every day and remind yourself, I am not believing the culture. I am not even going to worry about what others think because my God said this about me this morning. And I believe it. I know this is true. And I'm going to buy into what God says because it's truth this morning. Amen? And so I encourage you this week to ask God to help you to know full well that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And to ask him if you've got lies in your heart about yourself and in your mind, to dismantle those, to boot them out, and to plant his truths in there about you this morning. Would you stand with me? As we close in prayer this morning, just you and God for just a few seconds here. You are his masterpiece. Isn't that a cool thought? His greatest work of art. He made you you on purpose this morning. He loves you for you this morning. And the enemy doesn't want us to know that. He has plans for you. Amazing plans for you and for your life. And so this morning, I don't know where you're at, but I just want to challenge you this week here as you go into the week. Just again, I'm sure most of us would admit there's some kind of a lie that we believed about ourselves that he's planted, whether it's about, man, I'm failing at this or that, or whether it's about I'm not hitting the mark in this area of my life, or whether it's I don't like me and the way I look. I don't know what it is for you this morning, but can I encourage you this week to do business with the Holy Spirit in your devotional time? And to be honest, he already knows what you're thinking and feeling, doesn't he? You're not telling him anything new. But can I encourage you this week to be honest with him and open with him? And man, that included for me coming clean with him, saying at one point in my life, God, I don't like me for me. I don't like what I see. I had to be honest about that wound. Are you with me this morning? I had to bring it into the light so that God could heal that and deal with that nonsense that the enemy planted in my heart, life, and mind. And it was only then when I brought it into the light that God could deal with it and heal it like he wanted to this morning and bring me out into freedom and victory. And so I challenge you to do the same this week. Whatever it is for you, bring it into the light and say, God, I want healed from this nonsense. I'm giving you the paintbrush. Paint over this stuff of the enemy and show me truth. I want to know full well the truth about me from you. And so this week, would you do that? Would you do business with God and let him work on you? So, Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters this morning. And, Lord, we know the enemy is going to pursue us. We know he's going to come at us this morning. We know he's going to lie to us. You told us that in Scripture. And he's been doing it since the very beginning of time. And so today I pray, Lord, for each of us here that we would come to you for your view of us, for your perception of us. Oh, Lord, help us this morning, I pray, to adopt your view. Not the enemies, not the world's, not what we think people are thinking about us, but, oh, Lord, will you help us to know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and may we know that full well. Oh, Lord, work in us to know that and to adopt that view this week and in the weeks ahead. So take away the lies of the enemy and plant your truth in our hearts, we pray. Now bless us as we go, I pray. And we thank you for your sweet presence that's going to be with us all this week through everything we say and face and go through. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.